We've taken as our theme the title of one of Lewis's books, The Discarded Image, Living as Christians Through the Global Collapse of Culture.
This is All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty. On the show today, I have two returning guests to share about an interesting event in England for summer 2016. Those guests are Dr. Hal Poe and Dr. Don King, and they are excited to tell about an Inklings Week in Oxford that starts the third Sunday in July 2016. Welcome back to the show, Hal and Don.
Good to be with you, William.
So good to be back with you, William.
Well, let me begin by pointing out that if you, the listener, are listening to this past the time of the event or are to sign up for it, you would still want to listen to find out what this event is like as others are planned in future years. You can visit their website for details, which we'll tell you about later, as well as it'll be in the show notes. And then also at that website, you can see about what other events they have in the United States. Well, now let's begin with the practical details about an Inklings Weekend in Oxford. The exact dates, precise location, and who are the main speakers?
William will be at St. Aldate's Church in Oxford the week of July 17 to 22, next summer, 2016. The registration for adults is $750, for students $600. But we're going to do a special offer for your listeners, William. If on their registration form they will write your call letters, we will give the adults the reduced fee of $600 and students $500.
Oh, excellent. And we'll make those call letters just the All About Jack or AAJ.
Good. That's what we'll look for. Now, as far as our speakers, we've got a great lineup. First of all, I want to mention Walter Hooper, who has played such a critical role in keeping the works of C.S. Lewis in publication. Walter's in his 80s now, and we're delighted that he can be with us. Philip Jenkins, the church historian, Michael Ward, well-known for his work on Lewis, Colin Duryea, well-known for his work on Tolkien and Lewis and all the Inklings, Gisela Kreglinger, who is an authority on George MacDonald, Holly Ordway, an expert on Charles Williams, and of course, Don and I will be along with Nigel Goodwin, our co-conspirator from England. And we'll have a number of others who have not yet confirmed, and I'd rather not mention their names as they are not absolutely firm yet.
Well, now, at the time we're recording here, I'm even surprised to learn some of those names because they hadn't been posted at the website at the time that I was making some notes for here. So there's quite a few names. Some have been on the show before, Colin Duryea, Michael Ward, and then Holly Ordway. Tell us some details about whichever ones you would like to. And, of course, people can always visit the website to learn more about it, along with details about the theme.
Well, let's begin with the theme. We're now in the centennial of the Great War, World War I, in which Lewis and Tolkien both fought. And we've taken as our theme, based on the importance of that war, the title of one of Lewis's books, The Discarded Image, Living as Christians Through the Global Collapse of Culture. Something monumental happened in the context of the First World War. In his inaugural address as professor of medieval and Renaissance literature at Cambridge in 1954, Lewis said that sometime between the period of Jane Austen and the 1950s, the world had changed in a way that it had never changed before. The Inklings were born into a world in which the sun never set on the vast British Empire, but they died in a vastly different world. Since the time the Inklings were born, the world has experienced a global collapse of culture unlike anything that has ever occurred before. In 1900, most of the world was ruled by a few royal families, but by 1920, the only form of government known to most people for 5,000 years of civilization had suddenly disappeared without anything to replace it. So we're going to take that as our jumping off point and consider what the future holds in light of what Lewis and Tolkien have talked about, and the opportunity that Christians have to lead into the creation of the next culture. Remember that the church has survived the collapse of culture twice, the end of the classical period and then the end of the medieval period. And in both situations, it was Christians who forged the way ahead. And we think we have that unique opportunity now that comes along perhaps once every 800 years. So we'll be looking at it very positively. To help us think about it, we have Philip Jenkins, the distinguished professor of history at Baylor University and co-director for the program on historical studies of religion in the Institute for Studies of Religion at Baylor. Jenkins is famous for several books he did in the early part of this century. The Next Christendom, The Rise of Global Christianity. We in the West, and particularly the United States and Western Europe, can sometimes be a bit depressed by the state of the church, but in most of the world, the gospel is spreading as it never has in world history. And another book he did, The New Faces of Christianity, Believing the Bible in the Global South. And so with these as a backdrop, Jenkins is going to help us consider how the world changed in the 20th century and what prospects that holds for the advance of the gospel. Then Walter Hooper is a name anyone who knows the name of C.S. Lewis should also know, because Hooper has done more than anyone else to make the works of Lewis available. So many things that Lewis wrote and published in journals and magazines and sometimes papers he presented but never published were simply unavailable to people except those who had access to some of the great research libraries. And so his entire career has been devoted to making Lewis available in these volumes of collected essays and his mammoth undertaking, the editing of the letters of C.S. Lewis, that massive three-volume work that has made Lewis scholarship so much more accessible to anyone who's interested in Lewis. And then Colin Duryea, whom I hope your listeners are familiar with, is someone who has been writing on Lewis and Tolkien for, goodness, 25 years probably? Maybe longer than that, probably close to 30 years. He's well known for the depth of his thought, his clear understanding, and not just his written work, but Colin is someone who hangs around and talks to everybody. He is immediately your friend, and those who come to the Inklings Week are going to enjoy getting to know Colin as a friend. Michael Ward assisted Walter Hooper in the editing of the Lewis letters, but he made a name for himself with his book, Planet Narnia, and has done several other things, co-editor of the Cambridge Companion to C.S. Lewis. Michael lived at Lewis's home, the Kilns, when he was a student at Oxford, and is uniquely suited, really, situated there in Oxford as a senior research fellow at Blackfriars Hall, to bring us into the world of Oxford and that whole context for the work that Lewis did. Holly Ordway is the director of the MA program in cultural apologetics at Houston Baptist University. She is a recent convert to Christianity. Just a few years ago, she was a proud atheist academic who was surprised by Jesus Christ and is now an ardent apologist for the Christian faith. She's done most of her work in related to Charles Williams, but she's now working on a book related to Tolkien and modern fantasy. Someone else who's going to help us think about how the culture is changing and how Christians need to respond is Ben Mitchell. He's the provost at Union University and holds the Graves Chair of Moral Philosophy. Is a noted bioethicist. He's written several important books. He's the editor of Ethics and Medicine, an international journal of bioethics. And Ben is going to use that hideous strength and the abolition of man as a springboard to explore all of the dangerous misadventures in bioengineering and so many other areas that were the stuff of science fiction when Lewis was warning us about them. But now these are things that are going on in our midst, and Christians need to rise to the challenge of how we respond to such a brave new world of post-humanity, it sometimes seems. So Ben will be a great help there. Gisela Kreglinger, born in Germany, educated at St. Andrews, is an authority on George MacDonald. Formerly, she was a professor of a spiritual formation at Beeson Divinity School, and then following that, a visiting scholar at St. Andrews University. She's going to help us think through the importance of the practice of spirituality in a materialistic age. Then we're going to do several other things to acquaint people more with the Inklings. Don is going to explore the life and work of Lewis's older brother, Major Warren Lewis. And Don, why don't you say a little bit about the Major?
Sure. Well, I'm actually working on a book on Warren. It's a biography entitled Soldier, Writer, Inkling, A Life of Warren Hamilton Lewis. And a lot of us know a lot about his brother, C.S. Lewis, of course. But Warren's life is interesting in its own right, and I think it's deserving of a biography. Lots of reasons support this, but certainly a biography of Warren will shed new light on his brother, including the warm, loving relationship the two brothers had that lasted throughout their lives. Also, another important part of this book will be exploring Warren's part in World War I. I mean, we know that Lewis's experiences in the Great War have been explored on a number of fronts, but not much work has been done on Warren's part in the conflict. And also very little work has been done on his life as a career Army officer. So during the week, I'll probably basically entitle the lecture something like Warney at War, and try to give the participants an insight into Warren's life there on the battlefield, Warren's part working as a part of the supporting units of several of the battalions there in World War I. The biography itself will be much more comprehensive than that, but during the week that we're together, I'll focus on Warren's part in World War I. Lots of people know that Warren also was an accomplished amateur historian, and I use the word amateur only in the sense to say that Warren wasn't university trained and educated as a scholar, and yet he researched and wrote 7 books on 17th century French history. So again, very much a life worth exploring on its own. Also, Warren was an active member of the household at the Kilns, where Lewis and Mrs. Moore and Warren lived for some time, and Warren played an important role in the life of his brother and the woman he married, Joy Davidman. As Lewis's secretary, he read Joy's initial correspondence to his brother, and so a really warm relationship eventually developed between Warren and Joy. So all of those aspects, but particularly Warren's part in World War I, will be a part of what I'll be talking about during the week.
And so we want our participants to get to know the other Inklings besides Lewis and Tolkien. So Don will introduce us to Warney. I'll talk about Lord David Cecil, younger son of the Marquess of Salisbury, arguably the most important political family in Britain of the last 500 years, they provided four prime ministers. But Cecil, in his day, was the other great man at Oxford, alongside Lewis. He was famous as a lecturer, the only person who rivaled Lewis in terms of filling up a lecture hall. And he knew everybody, and everybody loved him. In many ways, he was an even more strident advocate of a Christian point of view in scholarship than even Lewis. And so we'll talk about him and get to know him a little bit. My daughter, Rebecca Poe Hayes, co-edited with me C.S. Lewis Remembered several years ago, in which we wanted to know what was Lewis's legacy in the academy. After all, that's what he did for a living. He taught. And we collected essays by a number of his former students. And so Rebecca has been involved in this work with me for a long time. She's going to introduce us to Neville Coghill. Coghill was one of those brilliant young Christians that Lewis met when he came back to Oxford after the war. Neville Coghill was famous for his productions for the Oxford Dramatic Society, and his two most famous students were Auden, the poet, and Richard Burton, the actor. And in later years, Burton and Coghill collaborated on a production of Faust that was not just produced in Oxford, but then made into a movie. So Rebecca is going to introduce us to Coghill. Holly Ordway is going to introduce us to Charles Williams and his fantastic novels and his influence on Lewis and the others. So the program is going to be rich, multi-layered, full of texture, both to know the Inklings better, but also to see how they can help us understand our own age better. Our chaplain for the week is Nigel Goodwin. Now, Nigel Goodwin was a happy and contented, miserable actor studying at the Royal Academy when he was converted to Christianity. He went to live with Francis Schaeffer, and Schaeffer guided him and mentored him. And Nigel then established a Genesis Arts Trust, which is an international ministry to Christians in the arts, which he has led for over 40 years. He's touched untold thousands, tens of thousands of lives through his unfathomable gift of love. And so everyone will take delight in getting to know Nigel, a larger-than-life character with a heart bigger than anyone could imagine. And so these are just a few of the people who will be with us on the program next summer.
That is a very exciting list of individuals to have all in one place. I know there's been quite a few different England events that you've had and some other people. I don't know if anyone has had so many great scholars as well, but this is definitely a great opportunity. Again, it's in 2016. If there's still time, be sure to check the link that we'll provide in the show notes, and we'll mention here in a little bit. Well, now, as noted, the week begins the third week of July, which is Sunday, July 17th, and goes through Friday evening, July 22nd. So what more specifically can you reveal about scheduling? You were just detailing some of that by virtue of telling about the speakers, but will it be all lectures and no time to visit Lewis-related and other Inkling sites and other interesting places in Oxford, or what kind of setup will it have?
The feel of the week is more a retreat than a conference. We want people to have time to enjoy one another and have time to enjoy the experience of being in Oxford. So we begin Sunday night worshiping at St. Aldate's Church with the congregation there, followed by a reception so everyone can get to know each other. Then each day we'll begin about 9 o'clock in the morning with a worship time of worship and a different speaker each morning. Then we'll have two plenary speakers for about an hour each. Between those two plenary sessions, we'll break it up again with a briefer time in which we introduce one of the inklings. So heavy on the programming content, with a bit of flow between worship and extended coffee time. So we'll finish up about 12:30 each day, and then people are on their own to enjoy Oxford. And there are incredible things to do every day in Oxford. First of all, just a walking tour of Oxford to visit Magdalen College, where Lewis was a fellow, Merton College, where Tolkien and Hugo Dyson were fellows, Exeter College, where Neville Coghill was a fellow and where Tolkien was an undergraduate, Keble College, where Lewis was in residence during his training as an officer before he went into the war, University College, where Lewis was an undergraduate, and all of these places with their gardens to give you a feel of what is Oxford life like. And then visiting all the famous eateries and watering holes, the Mitre, the King's Arms, the White Horse, the Turf, the Lamb and Flag, and of course the Eagle and Child. So there's just the experience of walking around Oxford. Then Blackwell's Bookshop, arguably the greatest bookshop in the world, is a place to dodge in every day. But one evening we'll have a book signing event there, and that's a grand occasion that not many people get to have. The Bodleian Library, one of the great libraries of the world. If you've seen any of the Harry Potter movies, the Hogwarts Library was actually filmed in the Bodleian, and the Divinity School is what Lewis referred to as the most beautiful room in Oxford. Then to go up to Headington, just up the hill from Oxford, where Lewis lived, and to make arrangements through the C.S. Lewis Foundation to see if you can visit inside the home. The C.S. Lewis Foundation operates the Kilns as a research center for visiting scholars, but you can in advance make arrangements to visit the home. And then Cuckoo Lane is a walking path from Headington back down to Magdalen College. It was a favorite way for Lewis and his brother Warney to travel. It's an off-the-beaten-path, amazing walk. Great places to walk. Port Meadow takes you immediately into the countryside along the River Thames out to the Trout, which was a favorite inn where Lewis and his friends used to eat, to go punting on the Cherwell. A punt is a flat-bottom boat, what, about 18 feet long and 3 feet wide. You stand up in the back of it and push your way along with a long pole. That's an Oxford experience no one will want to miss. Visits to places like Christchurch Meadow, a huge park attached to Christ Church College, where a little girl named Alice chased a rabbit down a hole one afternoon and found herself in Wonderland. The Botanic Gardens, a river cruise on the Thames, climbing those ancient towers in Oxford for the views, or take a local city bus out to Woodstock, 10 miles away, where the Churchill family, the Dukes of Marlborough, have their great palace, Blenheim Palace, where Sir Winston Churchill was born. Or catch a train and travel about an hour over to Stratford and watch a play, a Shakespearean production. There's just more to do than you can possibly do in a week. And so people will do these things together. Little groups will form for different excursions, different experiences. And then in the evenings, we do what the Inklings did in Oxford in the evenings. In the colleges in the summertime, they put on Shakespearean plays. There are usually about three plays going at a time in the summer. And there's usually one or two revivals of an Oscar Wilde play like The Importance of Being Earnest. There are concerts in Holywell Music Hall and in the Sheldonian Theater and in the chapel of Exeter College. And so all of that time is filled up together. Now, 3 afternoons a week, we will have tea in college. And this is an experience we want our participants to have, the experience of having tea in an Oxford college. It's an institution, and we sometimes, as Americans, think, oh, they can't really be serious, but they're quite serious. Tea is something the world stops for. People slow down, get together, sit and talk over tea and biscuits. So we'll have that going on. So just a rich variety of things in addition to the content of lectures.
I will just add that it's a very nice balance. You get a lot of meat in the morning during the lectures, but then in the afternoon with all that free time, it's a great time to explore Oxford, particularly if you've never been to Oxford before. It's just a charming place to be. And so many of the places that Hal has already talked about are just a delight to visit. And I'll just add that for some, attending some of the Evensong services in the local college chapels, that'll be a real highlight as well.
Definitely. Yeah, much more than what you could fit into a week, but at least get a great taste of what it's like in that area. Well, now, considering the fact that this is traveling to England and most of the listeners that I have live in North America, I'm sure others, there are from other areas, but the large majority are from North America, what practical information needs to be considered when planning a trip, say from like North America or from outside of England to England?
Well, Don can help me on this. We'll both talk through it together. But first of all, you want to be sure you have a valid passport. It's easy to fly into England, but you do have to have a passport. And there are several ways to go. There are two major airports around London, both of which have direct coach service to Oxford. So it's easy to take the coach, that's what they call a cross-country bus, direct from the airport into the city of Oxford. It's easy to find accommodations online. The City of Oxford maintains a website for local B&Bs. That's the bed and breakfast. That's where I usually stay, in a bed and breakfast. And there are dozens and dozens of them in Oxford. It's a comfortable country to travel around. You'll find lots of things that are done differently. But it's a place where you just ask questions, and they're used to Americans needing a little help. Don, what would you add?
Well, taking a coach from the airports is probably the quickest way to get there. But if you want to travel on trains, you can also take a train from either Heathrow or Gatwick, and that's kind of fun. I think it's also a lot of fun to think about perhaps staying in one of the colleges. In the summertime, the colleges in Oxford rent out some of their accommodations. And they're very affordable, maybe not quite as lavish as staying in a bed and breakfast. But you'll be probably a little bit closer to the center of Oxford if you can get access to stay in one of the colleges. So that's a good option as well. I don't think people need to worry about bringing traveler's checks or coming to England with a lot of money in English pounds. It's very easy just to use your credit card when you're in Oxford. I think that's really the way to go.
Well, continuing to speak on practical matters, how can one register for this? You mentioned at the top of the show some aspects, if you want to repeat that as well, including the cost of the event, where they can go online to learn more.
Yes, our website is www.inklingsfellowship.org. And when you go to the homepage there, there'll be a box to click on that'll take you to the information about the Inklings Week in Oxford. And there you'll find everything you need. There's a place to click on for the registration form and just download the form, fill it out, and send it to us with your registration check. Normally, adults would pay $750, but for listeners of All About Jack, if you'll just write All About Jack on your registration form, we'll give you the $600 registration for adults, $500 for students. And that's the total cost for the conference. Now, the cost of transportation and lodging is borne by the participant, but the that registration fee covers all of the conference events. Besides accommodations, participants will be responsible for their own meals. We will do the tea three afternoons, but there are a lot of easy places to eat in Oxford, from the pubs to sidewalk sandwich shops to upscale restaurants, and you pretty much find your own most comfortable style of food there in Oxford.
Sounds great. And again, we'll have a link to the website for people to be able to read details about the event as well as for that registration form. Well, now let's transition to talk about sponsorship. Obviously, the Inklings Fellowship is involved, but who else do we have to thank for putting together something like this?
Well, the work of putting it together, Don and I have been doing this for a number of years with our Inklings Weekends, and we did our first Inklings Week in Oxford in 2013 to observe the 50th anniversary of the death of Lewis. But we have help from our respective institutions. So Don teaches at Montreat College, and they've been a big help to us over the years. I teach at Union University. They've been highly supportive of what we're doing. But other than that, we do this out of our back pocket. We don't get any pay for this. This is a gift to the community and for lovers of Lewis and the Inklings.
Well, now I understand there's a special treat for those attending the Inklings Week in Oxford. If I'm not mistaken, there's a Lost Lewis radio broadcast for MI6. What can you tell us about this?
Well, this is one of the exciting things that happens from time to time, to discover something that was not known or something that had been lost. And I'm a collector of Inklings manuscripts, letters, first editions, photographs, memorabilia, that sort of thing. And I came across a 78 RPM record with Lewis's name on it. And it was the recording was produced by the Joint Broadcasting Committee. And the subject of the recording is the Norse spirit in English literature. Well, I'd never heard of Lewis giving an address on the Norse spirit in English literature. And I thought, what could this be? Maybe it's another C.S. Lewis. But as it turned out, this was a recording that Lewis made before he did the broadcast talks for the BBC. And he did it in connection with the British invasion of Iceland. The British invaded to prevent the Germans from seizing Iceland, which would have given them a strategic base in the North Atlantic. And the Joint Broadcasting Committee was an arm of military intelligence. It's that nebulous group that no one knew much about, and even less what its actual name was. In the James Bond stories, it's the Secret Service. On BBC, it's usually called MI6, but neither of those are its actual name. And so Lewis gave these talks to, in a sense, make the Icelandic people feel better about the British occupation.
Do we know what year this was from?
We do. The British seized Iceland in 1940. They seized Iceland the same day that the Germans invaded Holland. And it wasn't a coordinated effort. It was a great coincidence. But the British needed their every man available to defend the island and to fight in North Africa. And so Churchill persuaded Franklin Roosevelt to take over the occupation of Iceland before the United States entered the war. And he did it on the grounds that Iceland is actually in the Western Hemisphere, and therefore Iceland falls under the protection of the Monroe Doctrine. And so Roosevelt took over the occupation of Iceland in July of 1941. Now, we have a letter from Lewis to Arthur Graves in which he said he had just 3 weeks earlier made a gramophone record which allowed him to hear his voice for the very first time. Now, up until now, we've assumed that this was some sort of a voice test for the BBC prior to Lewis making his broadcast talks in August of 1941. But in light of this record turning up and Lewis stating specifically this was the first time he'd heard his voice, and it would have to have happened before July 1941 when the Americans took over, he's probably referring to making this recording in early May of 1941.
So no one is going to hear this until this weekend in Oxford then?
Or that's
a
right.
Week and stuff? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Fascinating. Okay. Yeah. Who has this? Or wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. When I finish my time machine, I need to know when you found it so I can go back and get it before you do.
No. So, and let me mention that Christianity Today is going to publish an article about it on their website.
Before this Christianity Today article comes out, does anyone know about this, or did I miss the any previous announcements about this lost radio broadcast from Lewis?
No. It'll hopefully it'll catch some attention. I think people will be surprised.
Yeah. I would say yeah. Okay. How long is the audio of it? Because I guess on 78s, what you only got a short.
Yeah. Sadly, it's a two-record set, four sides.
Okay, yeah.
I only have one of the records.
Ah.
So I have side one and side three. The second record had side two and side four.
Oh, you're kidding me. Wow.
So, fortunately, knowing what I know about Lewis, I can understand what went between side one and side three. I can only imagine what side four would have said.
Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting because he gives some biographical information that he doesn't normally give in public. For instance, he said he tells us that when he was 14 years old, his imagination was awakened by his discovery of Norse mythology. And so this is 15 years before Surprise by Joy.
Right, yes, yeah.
But he's essentially giving that basic information. He talks about going up to Oxford and studying Old Icelandic. Well, he did that with Tolkien and the Kolbiters. So so he mentions some interesting things about his own background that is sort of unusual for Lewis. But you can also tell that it's his first attempt at recording because he's not as polished as he was later. You've probably heard those only surviving recording of broadcast talks. And so he's much more polished there. This one is pretty rough. So it's fascinating. He talks about, he alludes to the Nazis without naming them. But he talks about the tradition in British literature of a certain type of self-important bureaucrat who has no right to be in a position of responsibility, and he traces it through Dickens and all sorts of other folks. But he claims this comes from our Icelandic, our Norse tradition. So it's quite fascinating.
What is the, then you mentioned that we don't have side two and four. How long is 1 and 3? So we kind of rough know how long the recording was supposed to be.
Oh,
then.
Oh, golly. I'm thinking we've probably got about 10 minutes.
Well, yes, that's very fascinating. Well, now let's switch subjects for a moment. This Oxford event isn't all that the Inkling Fellowship offers. Briefly tell us about what else you have in the U.S. each year.
Every year we have two main events that we sponsor. One is for faculty members. It's the Christianity and the Academy Conference held in Memphis. We've been doing this since the mid-1990s. And the theme this year is Christian Responsibility in a Polarized Democracy. That'll be March the 5th, 2016. We're doing that for the election year. The Apostle Paul instructs Christians to pray for the emperor. But what is our responsibility in a republic in which we are the emperor? So we'll be exploring that from a variety of perspectives. It's an interdisciplinary conference. Our keynote speaker will be Dr. Bill Marty, who for many years was professor of political science at the University of Memphis, and he was one of the co-founders of the Christianity in the Academy Conference. The other thing we do every year, and have been doing since 2001, is the Inklings Weekend in Montreat. And this is particularly exciting for us this coming spring. It'll be the weekend of April 1st through 3rd of 2016 at Montreat College, there in high in the mountains in North Carolina. The theme is The Devil and C.S. Lewis. And our keynote speaker is William O'Flaherty himself in person. And we're excited that you'll be with us, William, especially in the context of the publication of your new book. And I think you ought to say a little bit about your book. And Don, you ought to tell us a little bit about Montreat and what a special place it is. Don is going to be one of the speakers, and he'll be talking about A Preface to Paradise Lost. Dennis Beats, one of the co-founders of the Memphis C.S. Lewis Society, will be talking about Paralandra, and I will be talking about The Great Divorce. Don, why don't you say a little bit about Montreat before William tells us about his book?
Montreat College is located in Montreat, North Carolina, which is about 15 miles east of Asheville, North Carolina. It's a center for not only the college, but also the Southern Presbyterian Church, or at least the old Southern Presbyterian Church. I guess it's the Presbyterian Church USA now. They have a retreat center there. And the entire area, actually, Montreat, Ridgecrest, Black Mountain, is a retreat center. Ridgecrest is a Baptist retreat center just down the road. So it's a lovely place. The Cove in Montreat is a beautiful spot. When my wife and I went to Montreat to be interviewed for the first time, we drove in through the gate and we went up about a 2 mile road, and we came up over a little rise, and there's a beautiful little lake there called Lake Susan. And we sort of fell in love instantly with the beauty of that place. So we're in the Appalachian Mountains. We're actually a part of the what they call the Black Mountains. And a little town nearby is called Black Mount. One of the things that people can do during the Inklings retreat in the free time is to go into Black Mountain, enjoy some of the local color there. You could also go to the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's only about a 15-minute ride away, and you could go to the center there. And if you wanted to spend a little bit more time, you could go to the Biltmore Estate and visit that amazingly beautiful spot. So it's just a lovely spot. I've been on the faculty for 42 years, and I have a hard time leaving, obviously. And a big part of that is both the wonderful colleagues I have, but also the natural beauty of the area.
And you might mention that probably your most famous neighbor is Billy Graham, who has made his home there in the gorgeous mountains since, what, around 1950?
That's right. Yep. Mr. Graham raised his family there and has had a good deal of contact with the college. In fact, the college's chapel has just been renamed the Graham Chapel in honor of Billy and the wonderful work he's done over the years in spreading the gospel.
My book is a companion and study guide to the Screwtape Letters. The book's title is C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, the suggestion being that these letters are, of course, from Screwtape, and he is a demon. And the publisher has another book called C.S. Lewis Goes to Heaven, which is about the Great Divorce, so it just seemed kind of logical for that. And in addition to having a study guide that has some suggested answers, which very few study guides, I think I've only seen one that had that, the companion portion is more like a topical index. Different topics are discussed throughout the letters, and some have more about one piece of a topic, and then it's picked up some later, and so I kind of weave that together in some entries to help it be more understanding to gain from it. And I've really enjoyed putting that together and gleaning more from the Screwtape Letters, which has been my favorite book since I started reading Lewis around 1980. Well, now, we could talk for a long time about this and other Lewis-related matters, but we need to wrap up. Before I let the two of you go, let's close by having you share some final thoughts for those who are considering going to the Inklings Week in Oxford. What can you help them in terms of making that final step to committing to attending?
Well, I'll go first and give Hal a chance to think about what he wants to say. I have just a number of wonderful memories of our Inklings Week in 2013. But I think the most moving one was the last night that we were together, those of us who were in attendance. We formed a circle and we joined arms and we prayed together and we sang together. And it was just a great way to finish a week that was filled not only with a lot of heady thinking, but also a lot of genuine fellowship and coming together as believers who have an interest in Lewis and Tolkien and the other Inklings, but saw one another as Christian brothers and sisters. So it was just a really wonderful way to end the week.
For any of your listeners who'd like to have maybe a better feel of what the week is like, if they would go to Facebook and check our Inklings Fellowship Facebook page, we've got a number of photographs of the different experiences from 2013. And I think the pictures tell it better than words can do to give you a feel of what the total experience is like. As I've said, it's not so much a conference as a retreat. We don't just want people to get information about the Inklings. We want people to feel revived, invigorated, refreshed, renewed. We want them to be touched at many levels, yes, intellectually, but spiritually, emotionally, relationally with other people. We want them to have fun and to relax. And so all of these are a part of what we're intentionally trying to do. And just purely selfishly, I think one of the things that Don and I are trying to do is have the kind of week that we would enjoy. And that's why we do it.
Absolutely.
Well, understandably so. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate the opportunity to have you as a guest again here on All About Jack. Thanks, Hal and Don.
Thanks so much, William. And we'll look forward to seeing many of your listeners there in Oxford with us in July.
And we look forward to seeing you in Montreat with us in April.
Again, I'm William O'Flaherty. My guests for this show have been Dr. Hal Poe and Dr. Don King about their 2016 An Inklings Week in Oxford. As noted, if you are listening to this after the event or there is not enough time for you to make arrangements to attend, please follow the link in the show notes to find out when the next one is, as well as other events the Inklings Fellowship has in the U.S. You're listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. In those same notes, in addition to having a link to the homepage for Inklings Fellowship, there will be direct links to the 2016 event in general and one to the registration page. Don't forget to put AHA or All About Jack on the registration paper that you mail in to get the special discounted rate. Also in the show notes is a link to the publisher page where you can get a free 20-page PDF sample of my book about the Screwtape Letters, and that link will also let you pre-order the book, or if you're listening to this after it has been published, then you can just order it. Finally, there will be a link in the show notes to the article from Christianity Today about the lost recording from C.S. Lewis when that article is published. You can get to the show notes by either going to EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com, which is the location where the audio files are hosted. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. Again, that's AllAboutJack.podbean.com. If you go to the other location, EssentialCSLewis.com, you can still get to this podcast, plus I have a variety of articles there as well, including a series examining quotations alleged to be from C.S. Lewis. Additionally, there have been also a daily fact quote and quiz that's available at the site. I hope you enjoyed today's show enough to want to share it. Also, feel free to leave comments about the program online and considering listening to other shows. Recent ones at the time I'm releasing this podcast include a show about Journal of Inkling Studies and the re-release of a series from 2012 on the Narnia Code with Dr. Michael Ward that had Dr. Holly Ordway as a co-host. Again, you can hear those and other shows by either going to EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. If you have questions or comments, email them to info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, that's info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Finally, did you know that you can help to make sure this podcast is freely available to all? Consider becoming a financial supporter of this podcast to make sure it continues. There is a link in the show notes about this. Contributions can be as little as a dollar a month. There are some great rewards possible, and no long-term commitment is necessary.